Support for this show comes from Sonos. Experience high-quality, balanced sound at any volume, anytime with Sonos. You can build a custom sound system that perfectly fits your needs, preferences, and living space. Whether you're enjoying a podcast inside or taking your music on the go, why not try the Sonos Ace headphones, crafted for comfort with a battery that lasts. Ready for better listening? Visit Sonos.com today and learn more.
Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm producer Rihanna Cruz.
And today we have another edition of our series Chartbreakers, where we look at the charts to see what are some of the things we've been missing, what are the things that are rising, and we uncover the biggest themes on the charts.
We need a theme song for this, Charlie. Don't go breaking my chart.
Wow.
Couldn't if I tried. Billboard Hot 100, week of May 17th, 2025. I love doing this because the Billboard chart is like the Oracle of Delphi. Mm. You know, you go, you supplicate, and the chart gives you infinite wisdom. It surprises you. It gives you insights in the deeper, innermost recesses of our collective soul.
I feel like we haven't done a Chart Breakers in a while.
And that's probably because all 100 songs were Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter for months and months and months.
Of course, of course.
And finally, it feels like there has been a real shift. Mm. And so in looking at the charts today, I want to group them into some of the big mythological categories. We've got the relaunch. We've got worship pop. Mm. We've got vibe snatching, vibe shifting. We have got the voice audition. And we are going to check in with our bingo card because there's been a major update on the charts that I'm very excited about. Let's begin with the relaunch. There are a number of legacy acts who are on the charts right now who are trying to reframe their later half of their career. As of a few months ago, if you had asked me that Drake was ever going to show his face again after one of the most challenging hip-hop battles in which he, you know, notoriously lost, I would not expect him to be near the top of the charts. And yet, here's Drake with his song Nokia, currently at number 5. Is it Stacey?
Yeah, I love that song, Charlie. I can't believe I'm saying this, but this might be one of my songs of the summer.
What?
It's from Drake's latest record, a collab record with Party Next Door called Some Sexy Songs for You. And I think that really sums up Nokia. You know, it's a playful track. It uses the old Nokia ringtone as the bedrock for a silly party song.
Yeah.
And I like that you brought up the Kendrick Drake beef, because the way that I feel about this song mirrors something Kendrick Lamar said in his multi-minute diss track Euphoria, in which he says, "Keep making me dance, waving my hand, and there won't be no threat." Meaning, Drake is at his best when he's doing goofy party songs for people to dance to in the club.
Right.
And this song is that. It feels like Drake is having fun on a track for the first time in a very long time.
This is a big reset. This is him relaunching and just, you know, having a good time. We have a throwback 808 drum beat. We have him shouting out every girl that he's calling on his phone, something that he's done many times before.
Oh, yeah.
Makes me think of
Hotline Bling.
Yeah, for sure.
You used to call me on my cell phone late night when you need my love.
But he's not just calling people on a Nokia cell phone. He's also interpolating a DMX rap.
There was Brenda, Leticia, Linda, Felicia, Dawn, LaShawn, Inez, and Alicia, Teresa, Monica, Sharon, Nikki, Lisa, Veronica, Karen, Vicky, Cookie.
There's about 25 more women that he calls out.
I thought that sounded familiar.
Is it Stacey? Is it Becky? Is it Keisha? Is it FP? Was it Dante? Is it Party? Was the function?
Where the fuck the function?
I also like that we've got his line, "The way I feel right now." Drake is always in his feelings. Another big hit of his, "In My Feelings." So yeah, he's just going back in time sort of before the beef happened, relaunching, having a bunch of fun. And he's not the only one doing this, because the wonderful British redhead who plays an acoustic guitar and loops it to no end, Ed Sheeran, has a track called Azizam, and it's at number 49.
Azizam. Charlie, Rihanna, I like the story of this song more than I like the song itself.
Oh, come on. We had a whole episode about learning to love Ed Sheeran. Come on.
It didn't take, Charlie.
Okay.
Now, let me give you the backstory. Ed Sheeran co-wrote and co-produced this song with Ilya Salmanzadeh. Hopefully I'm pronouncing his name right, because he is a well-established hitmaker, worked with Max Martin. He's Swedish-Iranian. He's made hits for Ariana Grande, Taylor Swift, Rihanna.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really had the ability to express his own cultural background in his music before. So he and Ed collaborated on this song that uses this Persian phrase, Azizam, which means my dear or my beloved. And they incorporated all these native Persian instruments, frame drums, dulcimers, plucked instruments that paid tribute to Ilya's heritage. And on paper, this just, I love everything about it. But then when I press play.
I don't need to hear a but. What's your problem?
Despite everything I've just described, when I hear the song, all I hear is Ed Sheeran. And what do I mean by that? Simple chord progressions. I mean universal lyrics that are clearly trying to get like a huge radio hit and have the biggest pop appeal. And incredibly simple melodies that use the same four notes over and over and over again.
As in memorable hook? See, I love this song. I think it is a fun dance track, and that's what I want from something which is going to get me dancing. I don't need the deepest lyrics in the world. I really love the groove of this song. In fact, it's a little bit deceptive. If you just listen to the guitar in the beginning, you don't know exactly where we are in time. And then the drums come in, and you realize we're in this 12-8 feel, this 1-2-3-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4-4- Disclosure, the song that kicked off Sam Smith's career. I'm a sucker for that groove. What can I say?
I hear the both of you, but I do have to side with Nate because this song distills my most serious issue with Ed Sheeran. No matter how interesting the instruments are, no matter how interesting the groove is, it's boring. He's boring.
Truth.
He don't have much of a personality. I find it very difficult to connect with him on a larger level. And this song is kind of infallible in the way it sounds, but I can't really connect with it. You know, it feels kind of, yeah, like meaningless lyrics, Nate. I believe that's what you said. And I balk, perhaps, at a white guy talking about Persian terms and saying, move me like the water.
Fair. I'll see you on the dance floor to Azizam sometime in the near future, and I want to prove you wrong. Mm. So we've got Drake and Ed Sheeran doing this big relaunch, and we also have another artist who's been around for a minute, Lorde. Mm. She has a new song out called What Was That? It's at number 60 right now. Into your hands, we're in a sandstorm and it knocks me out. I didn't know then that you'd never be enough. Oh, since I was 17, I gave you everything. Now we wake from a dream. Well, baby, what was that?
What Was That is the lead single from Lorde's upcoming album, Virgin. Mm-hmm. And I find this song more similar to Nokia than to Ed Sheeran's Persian joint, because I feel like Ed Sheeran's trying new stuff, broadening his artistic scope. I find What Was That very similar to Nokia in the sense that both Lorde and Drake are kind of playing the hits. You could put this song on Lorde's album Melodrama from 2017 and it would fit in perfectly. You know, it would flow really nicely. I think Lorde's not really pushing the envelope here, and I don't know, is it working?
I mean, for a fourth album in a more than decade-long career, it does feel like a bit of a return to form, right? She put out Pure Heroine in 2013, Melodrama in 2017, Solar Power in 2021. That one kind of came and went.
I like Solar Power. Hey, not too much on Solar Power. Not too much on that.
It did come and go, and she is now making a sort of return to form, minimalist dance sort of sounds. I think it is not even that far from things we heard on her first album. Like, Royals has that same minimalist dance-infused vibe.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movie.
And this return to form in minimalist dance production is laid bare in the song. She's talking about taking MDMA in the back garden. We have a sort of late 2010s pop drop synth vibe that is the chorus.
Yes.
It's very much looking backward. And I'm looking forward to it because, you know, I waited an hour for Lorde to appear in Washington Square Park. She had announced, hey, look out, I'm gonna announce this song. Come and see me.
Yeah.
And only to end up in a crowd of students to be disappointed that she didn't get her permits. Everyone had to scatter. And then eventually she showed up many hours later and she danced around to this new vibe. I like the track. I'm looking forward to it, even though I was sad that I didn't get to see her.
Gotta get your permits, people. Even rock stars need permits.
The greatest minds of our generation have been befallen.
Stymied by the New York City Parks
permits.
Department.
That's where real power lies. Speaking of power, if you want to feel power on the pop charts, it's everywhere right now. And I want to go into our next section, from the relaunch to worship pop.
Ooh.
There is this trend happening right now where there are all these songs that feel sort of vaguely religious, sometimes direct references to God, other times maybe just inspired by Imagine Dragons and the worship formats that we discovered in Learning to Love Coldplay.
Indeed.
And there are a number of tracks here. I want to start listening with Alex Warren's Ordinary. It's currently at number 2.
Oh my, my, it's taking me out. Ordinary, I want you laying me down, so we're dead and buried. On the edge of your night, staying drunk on your vibe. The angels up in the clouds are jealous, know what we found. So this world, ordinary, you got me kissing the ground, ground sanctuary.
This song just keeps building and building from its quiet ukulele beginning to this over-the-top song, which is anything but ordinary. And I think it's worship pop because it contains both imagery of God. I mean, he's saying, you know, return me to dust. You're the sculptor. I'm the clay. The angels are jealous. By the way, Christian TikTok is very up in arms about whether or not this is actually a Christian song. But Alex Warren is a Christian. He has even spoken about being inspired by worship music in making his tracks. But I think he's also clearly also influenced by pop music. I mean, there are at least two very clear allusions to me that he's listening to pop music. There's that line, oh my, my.
Oh my, my, it's taking me out.
Reminds me of Troye Sivan.
Oh my.
Phrasing that was also used on Boy With Love featuring Halsey by BTS.
Yes, indeed.
And just so you hear it again, here's Alex Warren do the same thing. And did he also maybe take the lay me down till we're dead and buried from Billie Eilish? Birds of a Feather was written back in 2023, released in 2024. Ordinary came out in 2025, so I wonder if that might have been in his ear, the line about being dead and buried. So I'm hearing influences from both the pop world and the worship world, in this sound of Ordinary.
This song fits firmly into the genre that me and my partner lovingly call Love is Blind music, referring to the Netflix dating show in which couples learn to love each other without seeing each other, and then they meet in person and get married. Songs like this play every 30 seconds in the show. And the popularity of Ordinary makes me wonder if there's a connection between the conservative slant that America is kind of in the process of plunging into and the rise of worship pop so high on the charts. Number two, Nokia was number two, you know, like these are big songs. I'm curious, Charlie, is there more of this worship pop?
Brianna, you're in luck. There is a lot more Love is Blind style music. The worship pop continues in the sound of Miles Smith and his song Stargazing at number 26. Like to posit this as my least favorite song on the charts right now.
Shots fired.
It's got that millennial, hey, your oh-oh-ohs, yeah. Like very throwback. This is like 2010 music.
Yes. Welcome back, Mumford and Sons.
Yeah, exactly. This is a song that just feels like it was written by AI. Because the thing is, the AIs often do this thing where they begin with these like soft acoustic-y songs that somehow build into EDM. And I never want those two things together. They're just like, those are two different emotions. I understand, like, if this is, like, vaguely inspirational, we have to build throughout. But those two things just, they don't need to mash up together for me. The worst thing about it, though, is I just feel like this is a really obvious vibe snatch.
Time stood still, just like a photograph you made me feel.
Do you hear what I'm hearing in the intro?
Sounds familiar, Charlie.
There's something about the strumming pattern of that guitar. Dun, dun, dig, dang, dang, dig, dig, it's,
well, it's very basic. It's just like the first strumming pattern every guitar player learns to play. No, it's the vocal melody. Time stood still. Maybe this is too de minimis to actually be taken from another song, but it reminds me so strongly of Train's Hey Soul Sister. We got a very similar strumming pattern here on the ukulele. We've got that strong kick drum that we hear in Miles' song, but you get that lipstick stains.
Your lipstick stains.
Time stood still, just like a photograph you made.
This is a Hey Soul Sister rehash.
It's the major third in that three-quarter note rhythm, dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. I hear the connection.
I mean, it's very simple. It's very basic, so I don't think this is like copyright infringement, but...
I have to come to Miles Smith's defense here. I imagine what draws a lot of people to the song is the quality of his voice.
Mm.
He's got a really nice instrument, and I love the way he pronounces certain words with his British accent.
Mm.
Like, can we just hear the way he says the word last, Charlie?
Like this will last forever.
Ooh, how do you say that? Lost.
It's great.
Lost.
Yeah, this is one of those songs that it definitely has a great vocal. It ascends, it builds, and it's supposed to give this feeling of love, stargazing. It has the feeling of intertwining souls, strangers meeting, and it has that uplifting quality of the sort of worship pop.
Mm.
I understand why people dig it. It's just not for me. However, there is a song that is even more explicitly worship music that I think has a great vibe, even if the lyric isn't quite my thing. Here's Forrest Frank's Your Way's Better at number 61.
Oh Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world till my head hurt just to find out your way's better. Oh, oh, your way's better.
Okay, now I'm realizing what this is.
It's Christian trap pop or something.
I feel like I just got blown back to 2017.
Yeah. This is just like white guy Chance the Rapper.
Literally. Exactly. I guess that's...
Wow.
There's only one she love as much as me is Jesus Christ and Taylor. I got a feature song singing for my grandma. You sing it too, but your grandma ain't my grandma.
Point being... This worship pop stuff, it's all over the charts right now.
Mm.
Well, we'll have to keep ruminating on the reasons for this religious revival on the pop charts. Mm-hmm. I think certainly what Rihanna said about our sociopolitical climate is probably relevant.
For sure.
But, you know, when we were listening to that Miles Smith track, there was something else that came up that I feel like we could explore further. Mm-hmm. It's a concept we've discussed on the show before. It's the vibe snatch, aka interpolating previous pop hits into new compositions. And I feel like this is having a moment again on the Hot 100, as evidenced by a track that sits at number 9 right now, Doechii's Anxiety.
Anxiety, keep on trying me. I feel it quietly, trying to silence me. Yeah, my anxiety, can't shake it off of me. Somebody's watching me and my anxiety.
The Doechii sense continues, folks. I mean, this artist can do it all. Rap, sing, interpolate your favorite Gotye song into a new hit track about anxiety. I'm talking, of course, about Somebody That I Used to Know featuring Kimbra. There's that iconic Glockenspiel line. And interestingly, we're in a bit of a interpolation wormhole here because
right.
Gotye is actually doing his own interpretation in that track from when? What was that? 2012, I want to say?
2011.
2011, okay. Because he took a small snippet of a instrumental track by the Brazilian guitarist Luis Bonfa, his 1967 composition, Seville. So we're like interpolating on interpolations here.
That song is an assemblage of many samples. We actually spoke with Kimbra years ago about the making of that track. And I think it's kind of neat that someone has revived it. It feels like it's about time. And I feel like this song is getting all kinds of reception. But one thing I really like about how Doechii took this song is that I think she really redefined the meaning of it. You can really feel the sense of anxiety in her voice, and she gives us an entirely new melody. The beat is so iconic that I think it would have been over the top to borrow the chorus. Mm. Instead, she creates a new hook on top of that iconic track. And all of the ways in which her voice is sort of talking on top of herself, from whispered vocals, sung vocals, rapped vocals, you can feel the sense of anxiety that I think is buried in this very interwoven multi-sample track.
I gotta say, Charlie, you said that the Miles Smith song was your least favorite song on the Hot 100. I think I gotta go with Anxiety as my least favorite.
Oh.
It feels like every time I hear it, it's like boring a hole into my brain. I don't appreciate it. And I love Doechii. Like, Doechii's my girl. But this is a little bit much, even for me.
It's tough when you're sampling one of the most played radio hits of the last decade. If that's something that's already been driven into your ear as an earworm.
See, but I love that song, though. That's the thing. Maybe that's it. You know, maybe I love that Gotye track so much that anything over it is kind of sacrilege. Mm,
okay. Can I give you another one, maybe to not like?
Hit me.
All right. Here's a vibe snatch that I'm not getting down with. It's Lil Tecca's Dark Thoughts at number 48.
So bad, you spend your cash on a bitch you never had, yeah. I'ma tell me, boy, don't lie, so I ain't gonna slide if that shit ain't by the bag, yeah.
Wow, I'm honestly quite surprised that you brought up Lil Tecca on Switched on Pop in 2025. I feel like I hadn't heard of this dude since 2019 when his song Ransom blew up. And it peaked at number 4 on the Hot 100, actually. That was the last Lil Tecca track that I tuned into.
I got black, I got white, what you want? Hop outside a ghost and hop up in a fan, I know I'm about to blow, oh, when you done? They try to take my floor, I take their ass for ransom. I know that I'm gone, they see me blowing.
I love that song. I hadn't really tapped in with what was going on in Tecca world in the years since. But this feels very much in his wheelhouse, this kind of auto-tuned, funky, dancey rap. Tekka's young, you know, he's only 22. So this is a very youthful track in line with what Bro has been doing over the past few years.
I've got an issue with it, though.
Mm.
The second I hit play on the single Dark Thoughts, I'm like, whoa, I can't believe he got Pharrell Williams on this track? What? Now, for those of us who aren't familiar, Pharrell Williams has this producer tag that is a little bit more mysterious than most. We don't get it's Pharrell Williams on the track. Instead, he just does this little 4-beat thing at the beginning of his songs, right? Milkshake by Khalees. Or All Right by Kendrick Lamar. Or Frontin' by Jay-Z. You get those 4 beats to Pharrell hit. And I'm hearing the same exact thing on Dark Thoughts, including that very identifiable, punchy electric guitar that we hear on Frontin'. But here's the problem. You go and you check the credits, produced by Lucas Schraff and Foley's.
Oh, so they're just jacking Pharrell's whole swag.
They're just jacking Pharrell's thing. It's one thing to be like, you know, I'm really into those Pharrell things that happened back in, you know, the 2000s. I want that kind of sound. It's another to begin your track in the exact same way that Pharrell would have. I know it's not quite a producer tag, but it is his thing. And so if you're taking his sound and the way he would introduce it, if I were Pharrell, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but, you know, Pharrell clearly took that 4-beat opening from the proud tradition of Balkan brass music.
Wait, what?
Goran Bregovic's Kalishnikov. Beauty!
We don't talk about the Balkan influence on Western popular music nearly enough on the podcast. You made a point.
That's a heater, bro.
Yeah.
I love that.
Surprised Nardwar hasn't asked him about that in one of their many conversations.
There's another thing that Lil Tekka is doing, which I feel like we need to explore on a future episode, which is that he is so constantly ahead of the beat. I get dark thoughts too, but I keep them. Shorty got a friend group of hoes, so I treat them. Like, we are no longer rhyming in time. We don't need to. He's just like all over the place. It's a very popular phenomenon. It's not for me, but it's a thing that's going on right now. So those are our vibe snatchers. I'm sure there's many more on the charts, but more than just vibe snatching, we also hear a real vibe shift that's taking place in pop music. And we're going to listen to that right after the break.
Support for this show comes from Sonos. When you think of a smart, whole home sound system, think Sonos. Sonos delivers high quality, balanced sound at any volume. Their speakers are designed to accurately represent the artist's intent and are tuned by some of the most discerning ears in the industry. So you don't just hear the music, you feel it. From crystal clear highs to powerful bass, it makes your music feel richer and connects you deeper to the sound. And you can hear the difference too when you try the Sonos Ace headphones. With a soft and adjustable fit, you can listen for hours. Get up to 30 hours of battery life with ultra-fast charging, meaning you can go on multiple cross-country flights while staying immersed in your music, podcasts, and audiobooks. Unlock the full potential of your listening with Sonos. Visit Sonos.com to learn more.
Charles, I'm glad you brought up the vibe shift that we're hearing on this week's Billboard Hot 100, because I was very pleased to see one of my favorite bands represented on the Hot 100. It's the Marías. And they have a sound that is so distinct, I think, from anything we've listened to. It's kind of washy and gauzy and close-miked and mysterious. It really stands out on the charts. And I'm so excited to hear No One Noticed at number 28. I've been a fan of the Marías for a while. And what pleased me about encountering this track is that I feel like they haven't sacrificed any of their signature sound to achieve a higher level of success.
What is that sound?
One thing they like to do are these harmonic progressions that feel very cyclical. Like in this case, we're in the key of G major, but every time we get to that G major chord, they never give us like a true home. First, we have this G major 7 chord, then it immediately goes to a G7 chord, and then it goes to an A minor chord and a D7 chord. So even if you don't understand exactly what those names mean, what I'm trying to convey is that you never feel like there's this clear tonal home in the song.
There's no sense of rest.
And what that does is bring this lyric to the fore. You know, no one noticed. There's this feeling of like being unsettled, not having a home. The song is about trying to make this like connection with someone, but you're always stymied by technology. And I feel like that unresolving chord progression kind of gives us that feeling. Then there's the lead singer, Maria Zardoya's voice, which is so delicate. She's always mic'd super close so you can hear her lips moving as she intones each word. And something these guys love to do that you rarely hear these days is instrumental solos, trumpet solos, guitar solos, keyboard solos.
Nice.
And we get one here. You get lost in these songs. The sense of time. It's like being in a casino. There's no clocks. You're like, where does it begin and where does it end? Is it 3 minutes or 10 minutes? You don't know.
Yeah.
It's a really cool effect, and I'm glad to see them getting some shine. I mean, to be clear, they've also like had features with Bad Bunny. They're not unknowns by any mean, but
I don't know
that they've had a song on the charts before. Now, this one's been on the charts for a whole 32 weeks, so maybe this represents a new step for them. We'll have to see.
I think this is the best example of a vibe shift because it's also representing part of the big formal shift which is happening in pop music. It completely rejects the verse chorus structure, right?
Yes.
We kind of get like a verse and then a second verse, an instrumental solo, and then this just like ongoing endless coda that goes off into infinity. Keeps on going and going. It repeats this very simple melody as more layers add on top. It feels like music to end a film. It doesn't feel like a typical pop hit. It's something entirely new. It's a vibe shift for me.
Feels very indebted to Bad Bunny's experimentation with song form. Maybe something they picked up as a result of collaborating with him.
It's like if you mix Bad Bunny song form with Billie Eilish aesthetics.
Oh.
I don't know if I have a neat, tidy term for the vibe shift that the Marías represent. Dream pop, perhaps, comes to mind.
Aura.
Just aura.
Yeah.
I love it.
But with another artist on the charts, Raven Lenae, I feel like we have a clear term to describe this vibe shift. It's a soul revival. Her song, Love Me Not, is at number 41. And no.
I love that song, Nate. It feels like the type of song that when you hear it for the first time, it feels like you've known it your entire life. It's so familiar and yet so interesting.
It's probably doing that through the familiarity of its genre references. I mean, we have classic, you know, electric guitar arpeggiating. We have a bass line and kick drum that feel very throwback soul. The voice is produced in a way that sounds like it's 50 years old.
Yeah. It's a little bit of like slapback echo on it.
Yeah. And it's sort of band limited through a like a low quality microphone. It's got a reverb that sounds like a soul reverb.
What I think makes this song representative of a vibe shift, though, is that it's also adding to those nostalgic touches. Because otherwise, I feel like we've been here before. You know, Rihanna, Love on the Brain, for instance, like really mines this same sound. But what Raven Lenae does is puts in like these kind of weird touches that make it so it's not just a carbon copy of sounds from the past. There's a moment when she goes to the second verse when this really comes to the fore. First, we get this weird, like, electronic effect that sounds almost like a turntable being wound backwards. And then she switches up her voice. It's almost like Nicki Minaj-esque a little bit. She's, like, playing this character. So there's almost an ironic distance to this sound. Let's check it out.
Reverse beat.
That's nice.
Her vocal control is insane. I'm excited to see this artist and this sound maybe cast a wider net in the future.
Well, I mean, I feel like there's a lot of other people pulling on the soul sound. Like Leon Thomas has a song called Mutt at number 13 right now, which begins with a soul sample and then gives us like P-funk and R&B combined. Funk and B, is that a thing? I don't know. Let's take a listen.
She said, take your time, what's the rush?
A few years ago, we talked about Steve Lacy's Bad Habit taking number one on the Hot 100. This track, Mutt, seems to be from that same school of new age R&B.
It's pulling from the past, but sounds entirely new. I mean, it's based off of a 1977 sample of a song called Silly Love Song by Enchantment. And yet, it doesn't feel like a 70s throwback by any means.
She said, take your time, what's the rush?
Which I might not say the same for someone like Teddy Swims, who's also pulling on this soul revival. You know, his song like Bad Dreams at number 30.
You know, Charlie, me and you joke around because I feel like this dude Teddy Swims kind of came out of nowhere. This is the second track I've heard from Teddy Swims, the first being, of course, his song Lose Control.
I'm falling apart right in front of you. Can't you see? I lose control.
Lose Control, you know, this white guy's soul anthem.
Yeah.
It has the longest consecutive climb to number one of all time on the Billboard Hot 100. It's one of the biggest songs of this decade.
Wow.
So far.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
I think that success really hinges on one moment in the song. I really do believe this is why people keep coming back to the song. It's the chorus, it's the title line, and the way he sings it, I lose control. I mean,
right.
That is right. Sublime text painting. We literally hear his voice go from this tight control, I lose con, downbeat, 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 melisma, like you feel that in your bones when he does it. You're like, oh, I know that feeling of losing control. Now, to be clear, he's also like nailing that vocal run perfectly, which is also very satisfying.
Yeah.
But I just think you come back to that again and again, and it never fails to hit.
What about his next single, Bad Dreams? Is it doing it for you?
Bad dream.
I mean, I find it really satisfying in the same throwback way as Lose Control. I don't know if it quite will reach the same dizzying heights of that previous single.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's super effective. I don't know. What about y'all?
I feel like it's kind of a neat maybe interpolation, or it reminds me of actually not a soul song, but rather a song that comes out in the folk and then rock tradition as soul is coming about. I think that this might have been inspired by Bob Dylan's All Along the Watchtower.
Wow.
Like crazy?
I don't know. I could see it. You're onto something, Charlie.
The rhythm and the motion of those first two chords is spot on. And yet, I feel like this is a coincidence.
I mean, this song is in collaboration with Julian Bonetta, who gave us The World of Espresso, so much One Direction music. This guy's a music head, and so I wouldn't be surprised if this was an intentional little nod, or maybe something he's just absorbed as a music head.
I'm glad we're talking about this Teddy Swims track, because I feel like we can also use it as a pivot to another category that's not ours to identify. It's actually from the Rolling Stone author Larisha Paul. She describes the music of Teddy Swims and two other chart toppers, Benson Boone and the aforementioned Alex Warren, as a genre she calls voice audition pop. and what that means for those unfamiliar is the reality singing competition, The Voice. This is The Voice. And the kind of material that lends itself to performances on that show, and perhaps American Idol as well, and other shows of this nature.
Yeah.
Inspirational, belty, slightly generic white guy pop.
Yeah.
This is an article that really made the rounds, I think, in our musical communities, because it did that thing where you read and you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about.
Yeah.
So we just heard Teddy Swims, Bad Dreams. How about Benson Boone's Sorry I'm Here for Someone Else, which is what number on the charts, folks?
It's currently at number 32.
When I say, I'm sorry.
I think it's so fitting that you bring up Benson Boone in this quote-unquote voice audition song category, because Benson Boone actually got his start on a voice show.
Really?
He was a contestant on American Idol in 2021.
I didn't know that.
Me neither.
Yeah. So this is his bread and butter, you know, these vocal showcases.
He's in a different category, I think, than Teddy Swims. Like, Teddy really convinces me when he's losing control, but he actually has complete control. I think part of what Benson Boone's voice does for us when Larisha Paul gives us the sort of like voice audition analogy is that he's kind of pushing into a range where he can't quite hit it. And I think there's something about the sort of frailty and those upper notes that is relatable. Like when you go out and do karaoke, when you are auditioning for your voice dreams, like it feels just a little bit, I don't mean to be mean, but it's a little amateurish, right? It's like it's a little bit untrained.
Yeah, I think there's this characteristic of not necessarily bad singers, like usually singers with a lot of gumption do this, even though they can't hit the notes. They strain. And when you strain, you start screaming because you can't exactly hit the notes traditionally. So you're pushing your voice to the limit and you just end up yelling.
Right.
That's, I think, what bumps for me about Benson Boone. It's a lot of yelling. It's very loud. When I went to Coachella, Benson Boone was on the main stage, and the outdoor stage next to that had Tyla on it. And they were performing at the same time, and I literally could not hear Tyla, despite being directly in front of her stage, because Benson Boone was yelling so loud that it dominated every other stage at Coachella at that time. So he's a loud dude, and I know that it works for people, but that's why his voice does not work for me.
I mean, he's being presented as a Freddie Mercury-like singer. Visually, that's how they're presenting him. He literally had Brian May from Queen come out and they did Bohemian Rhapsody together at Coachella. I didn't find it entirely convincing because Benson Boone is not a Freddie Mercury four octave range kind of performer.
No. Yeah.
He's kind of the karaoke version of it. You can hear the sort of voice break in his other big hit, Beautiful Things.
Which hit number two.
You can hear the voice straining and rasping. You can hear him spitting trying to get to those notes.
Yeah.
Guys, gumption pop. We just discovered a new category.
Gumption. Love the word gumption.
Gumption pop. Anything else in voice audition core here?
Well, I have a song that I'm going to bring to the table that's slightly different in that it's not necessarily voice audition pop in this traditional sense, but it comes from a talent show.
What?
I'm talking about the girl group Cat's Eye and their song Gnarly.
Yes.
Which is currently at number 92.
Everything's gnarly. Na, 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 na,
I can imagine you hear that. You're like, what the hell is going on here? Who is Cat's Eye?
Yes.
It's six women. They were put together in the show Dream Academy, a la show like Making the Band, or how people are put together on shows like The X Factor to form bands like Fifth Harmony and One Direction. Dream Academy is a show produced by HYBE, which is a K-pop label, and Geffen Records. And for all intents and purposes, Cat's Eye was put together to serve the same purpose as a K-pop group.
Okay, but then how on earth did they end up with a Jock Jams sound-alike? I mean, is this like an interpolation of Get Ready?
No, you're warm, Charlie, but it's actually the Mortal Kombat theme song.
Kidding me?
And then they have those the sound effects of like the sword being taken out of the sheath too.
It could also be like a Rammstein riff that's downsampled. I don't know. What a bizarre track.
It's crazy. And the lyrics of the song are notable because they're so irreverent. Just listen to the first verse.
They could describe everything with one single word. You know? Like Bubba Tea, Tesla, fried chicken, party to Hollywood Hills, this song, oh my god, that new beat.
So the first time I listened to this, I said, wow, this sounds familiar. And I think I have a little bit of unique insight as to why the lyrics sound like this. So as the both of you know, I have been deeply invested in the underground hyperpop scene for the better part of a decade.
Yes.
This track is a hyperpop track for all intents and purposes, right? Like we have those glitchy textures. We have those Sophie snares. And this song has a writing credit from an artist named Alice Longyu Gao, who is really notable in the underground hyperpop scene. She's worked with artists like Dylan Brady. And I remember a while ago seeing a video of Alice Longyu Gao singing this very song with, surprisingly enough, the Chainsmokers.
What?
They could describe everything with one single word.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like boba tea. Tesla, fried chicken, smashing on the Hollywood Hills. This song.
You're saying that this song started as a TikTok video with the Chainsmokers?
You know, like boba tea.
Wow. Have I ever heard a song about boba tea? I love boba tea, and I like Gnarly. I like Alice's vibe and what she's bringing to Cat's Eye.
I like it too. I feel like the song has gotten a lot of unnecessary hate. Perhaps I think people are expecting a lot of Cat's Eye for being a quote unquote global girl group. People are expecting like something like Blackpink. We're in a Blackpink drought right now since all the members are doing their solo projects. Where's New Jeans? Nowhere to be found. So I think people are expecting a lot of this group, and this kind of stripped back experimental hyperpop song is not what people are expecting. That being said, though, I really enjoy it. I'm kind of on the Cat's Eye train. Gnarly's a bop.
I gotta say, Rihanna, if I'm gonna have to do a voice audition, I now know which song I'm going to pick.
Y'all, I have the perfect segue, right?
Okay.
We just heard that lyric about fried chicken being gnarly.
Yeah.
Gnarly.
It brings us so perfectly to our final selection of the day. I'm talking about a song that has just set a new Billboard record. It's currently at number 98, though it was higher a few weeks ago. And the record it has set is that it has officially become the shortest song to ever appear on the Billboard Hot 100. I'm talking, of course, about Jack Black and Steve's Lava Chicken from the Minecraft movie soundtrack.
So then for fair use reasons of a 34-second song, we'll play like 5 seconds of it. La, 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 lava. What?
Okay, full disclosure, I have not seen the Minecraft movie.
I was gonna say, Nate, do you want me to provide some context?
Rihanna, be our Gen Z whisperer.
So in the Minecraft movie, Jack Black plays this character, Steve.
Okay.
And basically all these people in the real world get transported to the Minecraft world, and Steve's showing them around because he's been living in the Minecraft world for a grip. So he's showing them all around, takes them to his food stand, and he makes lava chicken where he puts a pixelated chicken in this oven situation. Lava gets poured on it. Boom, we have chicken that you can rip off like a rotisserie and eat it.
Okay, so you just explained what happens. You did not make sense.
I'm fascinated by the song for a few reasons. One, Jack Black is the co-composer with Jared Hess. Does that ring a bell for anyone?
Director of Napoleon Dynamite.
Director of Napoleon Dynamite.
Director of the Minecraft movie as well.
Very happy to see him on the pop charts. And not only is it setting this new record for shortest song on the Billboard, just beating out Kid Cudi's Beautiful Trip from 2020, which was 3 seconds longer, 37 seconds. But y'all, this also allows us to cross off one of our Switched on Pop 2025 bingo squares, where we had a prediction that we would encounter a sub 2 minute song on the Billboard Hot 100 charts. Y'all, we surpassed that prediction by our wildest imagination. We have not only have a sub 2 minute song, we have the shortest song in Billboard history, thanks to Steve's Lava Chicken, a sentence I never thought I would utter in my life. And I'm so grateful that I was able to.
Again, you've explained it, but you're not making any sense. And I feel like we've done the same thing about the charts today. It is really all over the place, right? Like, we have seen major relaunches of careers. We have worship pop on the charts. People are vibe snatching, vibe shifting, Souls Return, auditioning for The Voice, singing about Lava Chicken. I don't even know what's going on, but it has been a really fun time doing Chartbreakers with you all. And so I figure we will check back in a few more months and see where the charts are at. Until then,
thanks for listening.
No, that's what we do in our credits. Shoot, we're ahead of ourselves. Roll credits. Switched on Pop is produced by Rihanna Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brad McFarlane, illustrations by Iris Gottlieb. Our theme music is by Jossie Adams and Zach Tenorio of Arc Iris. We're a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network, a production of Vulture, which is part of New York Magazine. You can subscribe at nymag.com/pod.
Find more episodes anywhere you get podcasts and head over to our website, switchedonpop.com, to sign up for our email list. We'll only blast you once a week with an email going deeper into some of the themes from our show.
It's also where you're going to get your bingo card if you want to follow along and potentially win the prize of, being the best musical follower of the year?
Well, I don't want to give it away too much, but, you know, this song, Steve's Lava Chicken, could actually X out two of your bingo cards, because another one we have on there is a hit from a movie soundtrack.
Oh.
So,
wow.
It's kind of a two for one with Steve's Lava Chicken. Wow, this song just keeps giving.
We'll be back again next Tuesday with an episode about another Billboard hit that we didn't talk about today, and that's Charlie XCX's Party For You.
Wow, 5 years after. Exciting. Until then,
thanks for listening.
Support for this show comes from Sonos. Sonos is your new personal best for sound. The Sonos Ace headphones let you take your listening wherever you go. With a soft and adjustable fit and up to 30 hours of battery life, and they seamlessly integrate with the rest of your Sonos system, you can switch from your Sonos soundbar to your Sonos Ace headphones in an instant and enjoy a personal theater experience like never before. Unlock the full potential of your listening with Sonos Ace headphones. Visit Sonos.com to hear the difference.